dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to SVC Sports Talk. This is a show brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com, and it is our show 313 as we cap off season 10 of the podcast. And we'd like to bring in, first of all, Mr. John Bruce. Say hello, John.
Hey, Bruce. How are you doing this evening?
Doing very well. This is last big show here that we've got for the season. It's been an interesting one, as we've thought about over the year. At least we've pretty much had athletics this year, whereas last year, obviously in the springtime, we didn't do that. So I think we kind of had a Sports Zone-y show last year, but it was a little bit shy, I believe, on recognizing our spring athletes, and so we're glad to do that. We hope you're doing well. I know you're still in the heat of the tournament, and we wish you and the Unioto Shermans best of luck as you, go for the district semifinal by the time this game, or by the time this podcast comes out. That'll be over, I believe. Is that correct? All right.
Yeah, it should be. And when you said the heat, that's about right for how hot it is, which thank God.
We're recording obviously on Sunday night, and I think it's supposed to be 90 on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So it is the heat of the playoffs or the tournament here. So wish you the best of luck, though. Let's also say hello to Mr. Shane Combs. Mr. Combs, congratulations on win 200 for you as a head coach, I believe. Is that correct?
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, yesterday in our Portsmouth Clay win, and you know, something that you're obviously proud of, but in moments like that, you want it to be more about the kids and about the program and you know what we're accomplishing. But it is something cool to reflect on. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's happened all at the one school there, and I had a chance to go to Brock Blanton's graduation party later in the day after the game, and there was one cool moment for me where I was talking to some different people, and I kind of looked across and John, I think you'll appreciate this as a coach too. I think at one point I counted a group of about 10 kids talking that ended up spanning across about half of my career at Paint Valley, where just kind of seeing those kids, and it was just kind of a neat thing to see them, you know, staying in touch. And that's kind of what makes the small school setting so cool. But it was a neat thing to be a part of. And you know, we're still in this thing. We're gonna try hard. I know we're by the time this show comes out, we'll be playing or have played the district championship game. But we play a really old, experienced 9 seniors, I believe, in the scouting report is what we had for the Eastern Megs team. Really, really good team. So I had a chance to see them earlier in the year over at Zane Trace, and it's going to be a tough test, but we're excited about it.
Well, we wish you the best, and we'll get on here with our final show of the year. So what's on the agenda, he says excitedly.
Well, I as always, you know, throughout the entire season 10, and really all 10 seasons for that matter, what is the show 313, and I believe, and North Fork Animal Clinic, Advanced Services, Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center. We want to thank all three of those great sponsors for driving the show all year long. And tonight we'll do the same. Bruce will give a shout out and give them a segment at a time. And this is our SVC Sports Zone Awards show. So we cap off the year where, you know, we'll have various categories and looking at teams and individual performances, and then different games, and then an athlete of the year. And we'll do that on the boys girls side all the way through, and it'll just give us a chance. Usually what happens in a show like this is it takes everybody back through the year. They play along as they're listening. We get a lot of feedback on these shows about, hey, I think you forgot this game, or hey, I would have picked this game. And that's what it's all about. So again, North Fork Animal Clinic, Advanced Services, Pickaway, Ross Career and Technology Center, thank you so much. Segment at a time, we'll highlight those, and then Bruce will give out some contact information for you to tell John and myself how correct we were in all of our selections this evening.
Yeah, you got the whole summer to input some information, and we hope you'll do that. We'll get to the contact information a little bit later in the year. So we're going to go down through a list of topics here, and if any of you have, either of you have something else that you'd like to stick in, well, I just speak up at any point in time. But our first thing that we're going to look at is teams of the year. And we've broken this down, obviously, into a team of the year for boys and a team of the year for girls. And I'm going to go to each of you and ask for your nominee, if you will. And sometimes I think you guys are of the same mind. I think you'll probably come up with one, and you'll both be in favor of that. But other times you might have something different, and your job, should you decide to accept it, is to convince the other one to go along with you. So you've got some speaking to do here. So let's get to it. First, team of the year, we're going to go to the boys category. I'll just throw it out there, and let's see who goes first on this. Team of the year for the boys.
Well, John, I guess my first question for you would be, I don't know that you necessarily have to be a league champion to be discussed in the category, but when you get right down to the winner, do you feel that it has to be a league champion in order to separate in terms of getting into the serious contention of the final two and then maybe even the winner?
Yeah, I think you kind of do, because if you look at our basketball, boys basketball team that made its deepest run, it was not the league champion. So do you say that was the best team when they weren't the best team over the 14 game stretch? So I do think the league champion ends up, you know, having a big part of that, especially in the discussion that we're going to have with these teams. I do think there's a lot of just very deserving league champions, and there are a few teams that didn't win the league, but, you know, had some nice postseason moments as well.
Well, I certainly had the Uniota basketball team mentioned for that very reason. Obviously the Adena basketball teams, you know, we'll talk about the girls side here in a little bit, but obviously Adena boys basketball. And then as we get to the baseball side, you get the shared champions, and, you know, Uniota with a chance to maybe add on to that. I think that's the other part of this, Bruce, is, you know, some of these spring teams maybe get cheated out because they don't have their full resumes just yet.
Yeah,
that's, you know, true. I mean, when we do this, and, you know, and then Westfall baseball. Yeah, not to get off topic, but anytime your SVC and TVC teams are playing in the sectional championship, you might want to revisit the way you vote.
Yeah.
You know, that was unfortunate for our league the other day. But, you know, I guess I probably do feel like, you know, when I get right down to the bottom line, I probably have more of an outright league champion. And then you look to see, were they able to honor that? The only other thing I'll throw out is sometimes we have a tendency to look beyond the secondary sports, as we refer sometimes in the fall. You know, you get some of your cross country teams, and you look at the golf teams, you know, on the Uniota side and some of the things they do. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be the only other thing. But, you know, I feel like I have a pretty clear cut team here. You know, John, I'll let you go first, and I'll simply tell you if I agree or disagree. And if we agree, then we'll kind of highlight that team together. And if we disagree, we'll try to play back and forth on one another.
Well, I wanted to just throw out a couple mentions on different ones where, like you said, kind of the secondary sports. It's, you know, I don't know if people – I guess baseball and track are both non-revenue sports in a way. So I don't know if you say they're both the same in the spring. But I think the Edina boys track team has to get a mention. Dominating win in the SVC meet, and then they go out and win the district. So like you said, maybe we don't see the full picture on, like, if they go out and win a regional next week, we can revisit this quickly. But then, I mean, you have the Unita cross country team that finished tied for second, ended up dropping to third with the tiebreaker, and a disappointing third in the state.
Right.
The Unita boys soccer team made it to the regionals for the first time since 2004. That's a pretty good accomplishment. But I really think you need to look out in the village of Frankfort, with the Edina boys football team, 8-1, going 6-0 in the SVC, pretty handily too. And just absolutely, I think curb stomping is a phrase people use. Curb stomp their way through the MAC with two just dominant performances over Parkway and Minster, not allowing a point in the first two rounds of the playoffs. And Minster is one of those really historically great programs out of the MAC, and they just dominated them before dropping a game to Mechanicsburg, a very good team. I just think with a short preparation and not really knowing what the season was going to come to be, I was just most impressed this year with the Edina football.
Well, that's really fair. We have our first disagreement, Bruce, okay, which I know will excite you. I figured I wouldn't tick Edina people off too much, because when I turn Edina football down, it's to go to Edina track. I look at what the Edina track team accomplished, and I just think it's a situation in track that it's such an enrollment driven. It's so much about scoring. It's so much about filling. You assume every team in football is going to put 11 on the field, right? You know what I mean? It's one of those where not very many times does the SVC team run a team out there and they don't have a left tackle. You know what I mean? It's one of those where it's hard enough. I don't think people understand how hard it is for all of the smaller schools to field a track team. And in terms of filling every event and having the opportunity to have chances to even double up in scoring in an event and so forth. And the depth of this track team is just so, so impressive, in terms of, with Rich and Dollar on the distance side. You have the special athlete in Hurt leading some of the throwing. We highlighted all the Myers kid and so forth, all through the skill and the speed and the so forth. I just, to me, as good as that Edina football team was, it was a unique year. I thought once they got past opening night, it was just a matter of staying, if I'm being honest, COVID-free. And running the table. Now, again, that doesn't make it less impressive, because it's just what it was. But there's some of the different format and so forth, they are phenomenal. I mean, we had discussions, if you remember, about them being one of the top two to three SVC teams here in the last decade. Just for me, on the track side, and then when you look at how many kids are now going on, as you said, maybe this is something that's got to be revisited here in a week or two, because who knows what they're going to go on to do. So Edina people have a lot to be proud of there. I think you can't go wrong. I probably have, because of my small school bias, when I see these small schools, I know when Paint Valley Boys won the SVC track league there a couple of years back, that was a really special thing that I was really educated on, talking to track people and different things. So I guess that's probably where I come from on that.
Okay, gentlemen, what's it going to be?
Well, I'm not going to really argue that, because I think that's completely fair. I do think, and maybe that's something where – we see it very close on, with the the Sykeses and the Bennetts and Throckmorton, which Throckmorton also runs on the track team. You know, you see these kids and Garrison, you see them, and then you don't hear about track as much. But then you see the depth of that class, where you have a Myers that just goes out and just dominates in multiple levels of
and John, track. Don't you think it makes you even appreciate the depth of that football team even more? Because you start to see in track, like, oh my goodness, you're talking about elite athletes that, like, you know, may get a chance to touch the ball 2 to 3 times on a Friday night. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. How would you like to have those extra toys to play with as the offensive play caller? I mean, it really is. It's neat how the two connect. So yeah, I'm okay going either way. It's just, on my end, on the boys team of the year, I would certainly go Dean and track.
And I'm going to go with Shane on this and go with Dina track.
Okay. So the team of the year on the boys' side is the Dina boys track team. Okay, great. Now let's talk about the team of the year on the girls' side. Why don't we let, I think Shane jumped in here last time. Why don't we go back to John to start on this one?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, you know, this also goes to, you know, did you win the league? But also, there's some – you just look at the volleyball league and just the depth of what is there. For me, the first thing I look at is the Edina volleyball team, because they won the league by a couple of games. Then they reached the regional championship game. Some other teams I looked at, I would say the Uniota girls track team winning the SEC pretty dominantly as well, and then going out and coming down to the last event in the Division II track meet and winning it with a second place finish in the 4x4. And you know, that's no small feat as well. With multiple athletes moving on there. The Westfall softball team definitely deserves a shout out for winning one of the toughest leagues in SEC history, with how tight it was coming down to the last week. And then they go out and they pretty dominating fashion. They win the district. And I like their chances to at least get to a regional final with the depth of their lineup. I was just really impressed with them. You know, I shout out the Uniota soccer team, making it to another regional appearance. They lost, I believe it was 4 games this year, and 2 of them were to teams that reached the state championship game. So, you know, not anything to hang their heads on there. Also, the Edina girls basketball team, you know, as a team that, you know, I think got there quicker than people thought, because we knew they had some talent coming up, but getting there quicker than expected. But for me, I would go with the Edina volleyball team. You know, 22-2 in a COVID filled year. You know, you just kind of never knew what was going to happen. 13-1 the SEC, and being at match point in the 4th set of their regional championship game before falling in 5. I just think it's just another special year, and they have the majority of that team coming back as well, which is really exciting for Edina and the volleyball program.
Yeah, I love the notes there on a lot of the league champions, and I think what you're saying about Uniota soccer was really interesting, because, and you would know far more about this, John, but I think it's one place our league has to really take a look at what's going to best fit our athletes and so forth, because I don't think we appreciate the level of soccer that they play in this particular group of young ladies there at Uniota, when you talk about just how close they are to competing all the way up to the state championship level, you know, in that higher division. Then the spring resumes are the other things that I had note of. You know, could Westfall softball go on to do something crazy? Could Uniota track, you know, go on to do something even more here in the next couple of weeks? Maybe that would change my mind. But you and I are spot on here. 22-2, 13-1, SVC champs all the way up to regional runner-up. You said it best. They're up 2-0. And they lose that third set, don't forget, 25-23. And then, as you said, in the fourth set, they're knocking on the door of the Final Four there. And, you know, it just got away from them there, you know. But you keep in mind, in that third set, they led 20-17. And then in the fourth set, on my notes here, they led 21-19. And then, as you said, 24-23. So that's how close this team was to adding a regional championship and going to the Final Four. So, that's a team that's going to be exciting to look at in the years to come. We talked about our Jeremy Ward special. There's our first mention of the night. Our first Jeremy Ward special of the night is to kind of keep one eye on the Lady Warriors there come fall. But, yeah, I don't think we're missing anyone, John. I was pretty thorough in the research as well, and I don't think this category is close unless, like I said, one of these spring teams go on to do something that would postseason-wise really add something to the resume.
All right. So, team of the year on the girls' side, the Edina volleyball team. It resonates with me that Edina had a pretty good year this year, I think.
Oh, yeah. They really did. You know, and it's going to be a theme throughout the night, but that's really a story. We don't really have this type of category or whatever, but one of the big storylines in athletics this year in the SVC is the Edina athletic programs, for sure.
Yep, certainly is. All right, we'll get to individual performances in just a second, but first I want to talk a little bit about Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. They've been with us now, I believe, 3 years here on the podcast, and they continue to be one of Southern Ohio's most trusted providers of heating and cooling services. And the cooling might come in handy this week, as I think we're looking at 90s here on Tuesday, or late Monday, early Tuesday. So you might want to write this number down if you don't already have it, 877-947-4499. They've been in business for over 20 years, and whether it's installation, repair, or maintenance, their team is available 24/7 to respond to your heating and cooling needs, and they look forward to helping you with all those needs. You can look them up on the web as well, advancedservicesHVAC.com. The number again, 877-947-4499. All right, as teased, individual performance of the year. Boy, this gets pretty granular, or could be. Let's go first on the boys' side. Individual performance of the year.
Well, again, you know, the category, you know, some people would say, well, doing it on the bigger stage and some of those different things. And I can appreciate that. I think there's some truth to that, John. I don't know how you feel about it. A great performance can happen any time. When you start doing it on a bigger stage in a bigger game, certain opponent, that probably carries a little bit of weight. I look to, we talked about the Myers kid in track, that was very, very impressive. You know, we have a lot of track kids throughout, winning multiple events, in the district level. You know, I mentioned Hurt throwing and different things. Cole Miller, I know, a Paint Valley kid who also plays baseball, is going to the regional in three events. But then I get back into the football season, and what I found was a lot of the Edina and Paint Valley kids were perhaps hurt a little bit by, blowouts. The league was very top heavy. So a lot of times in the blowouts, maybe they didn't get the carries into the second half. You know, does that matter? Well, I don't know. Probably shouldn't, but in a category like this, it does, because you are looking, you know, this is going to have a little bit of statistical value to it, wouldn't you think? And, you know, so when I got into the particular thing, I had a tendency to go to some of the bigger games on the boys' side. And I have one that I'll throw out there, John, and then I'll hear from you, and we can – perhaps I'm missing one. I went to the postseason in football, and I went to Levi Gallion. It was the Piketon Minford. Now, this could also go over into our game category, but I remember following the game, and for me, it wasn't as much about the game that night as it was like, oh, my goodness, how many yards is he truly going to have? How many touchdowns is he truly going to have? And the website had it at 29-46 for 446 yards, three touchdowns through the air. He ran 30 times, 218 yards, and five more touchdowns. So to me, And it was all needed. It wasn't one of those like, hey, leave him in, see how much. They won 53-51 to advance that night. And I just remember tracking that from home and watching some different things and listening on the radio and stuff. And I was almost in breaking out into laughter at times, just in terms of like what he was doing. So that was the one I had down. John, I know you're really, really good at tracking this type of stuff. What are some of the things on the boys' side that maybe I missed? I know I had Gavin Free throw no hitter this year. Cameron DeBoard had a lot of big wins in the Uniota run. Blackburn had a lot. You know, what am I missing?
Well, I think with like Peyton Weiss, I believe he struck out 19 against Southeastern.
Yes.
You've got – the spring was filled with some great athletes. Like you mentioned, Tate Myers just being really special overall. Marcus Whaley was another one that won two events fairly handily. I believe he qualified in three. I think he was just outside on the pole vault because I think he also qualified in the 200. But – then I looked at, like, I wanted to go back. I wanted to track, like, Uniota soccer season. They had a couple games with really big numbers, but not against great opponents. But one that really stood out to me, didn't even actually have this player scoring any goals, was Ethan Kearns had two assists in the last 3 minutes of a game, a 4-3 win over Bloom Carroll, where they were losing 3-1 with 3 minutes and 55 seconds left. And he completely just carved up their defense, got two assists. And just, it was unbelievable. Like you would have thought that it was like he was playing against a JV team with what he did in that game. That one really stood out to me. As far as soccer went, I think, some of the stuff Logan Bennett did this year in basketball.
Chris Chandler had quarters and halves that were like, just crazy. So he was certainly on the radar there.
Yeah. Isaac Little had a 31-point game against St. Trace where he needed, I think it was like 28 to get to 1,000 points, and he did it in just under right at three quarters. It was just lights out that night. But yeah, Chandler, Bertie Fuller had a great night in the district game against Eastern Brown. I believe he hit seven threes. So I mean, there were some great performances, but I think really it goes back to Levi Gullion. That night was just unbelievable. I was looking through it too, and there was I kind of remember, because being close with Isaac, him kind of joking about that, because Isaac had like 300 yards total offense and like six touchdowns and Uniota's first ever playoff win. And then we just see the reports come in that Levi goes for like 700 yards and eight touchdowns. It's just like, well, that'll do it. To me, it was just, that was one of those that I was listening a little bit on the radio that night coming home, and just the Piketon announcers were kind of laughing about it just because he was just doing whatever he wanted. He's got his weapons back next year as well, with Cameron Lohr had over 200 yards receiving that game. Johnny Burton had over 100 yards receiving. It's an embarrassment.
Another Jeremy Ward special, Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's been a couple.
Keep an eye on it. Yep. The red streak offense.
There you go.
Yeah. So, so I'm on the same page with you on this one.
All right. So the individual performance of the year on the boys' side is Levi Gullion from Piketon football. All right, that takes us up to the individual performance of the year on the girls' side. Shane?
Well, I'll throw just a couple out here, and then I'll see. On the girls' basketball side, we really had two young ladies just go nuts this year in terms of numbers. Allison Basie had a couple games up into the 40s. I know a night at Piketon, 46 points, hit seven threes. Which tied a school record. That was crazy. I know she even tried her hand at softball this spring, and there was one night in a 6-4 win against Southeastern, she was 2-for-3 with two home runs, including the second of the night was the walk-off winner. So that was a pretty neat one. I know that Paint Valley, Olivia Smith, had some incredible individual performances. The one that sticks out at me would be against Piketon, 25 points, 26 rebounds. And then obviously she had a lot of rebounding totals throughout the year that would certainly go into individual performances. So those are some of the ones that I just, you know, off the top of my head, I know there's some really good volleyball performances as well. But, you know, John, I would ask your take just on a couple things before maybe we give out our winner, or you could go through and give out your winner first if you wanted to.
Well, when I was looking through it, I really had those two performances really stood out to me, from Basie and Smith. Those are two that I wrote down. But then I was looking at some stuff in softball, and I wish that there was a way to put in like a weekend or a district tournament. Yeah. Delaney Lanefeld from I hope I'm saying that name right, from Westfall, a freshman, went 9-for-9 in the district tournament. I believe she went 5-for-5 and then 4-for-4 and in the final, and just, you know, that's outstanding. I we've talked about that week that Unioda's Alexis Book had, mm-hmm. where I believe she hit 5 home runs, had 14 RBIs, and hit like 800 on the week. So, I mean, those things, you know, really stood out to me. Lexi Lockwood's entire softball season was hilarious, hitting close mm-hmm. to 700 and having like close to 50 steals on the year. Is just something you don't see right. in a short season. But for me, I really went to those two performances that you mentioned in basketball. And just based on the fact that she just grabbed every one of the rebounds, I went with Olivia Smith in that 25 points, 26 rebound game, because if you've not seen her, she is not a big – she's not a big – player. So it's not like she has a huge height advantage, but her nose for the ball, her just want to go get the rebounds is something that, you know, it's amazing to watch. Like I enjoy watching her just go rebound. It's just and that's something, as someone who barely had 26 rebounds in a varsity career, which really, really appreciated is what she can do. So that's, for me, I went with Olivia Smith.
Well, I'm never going to argue with that, because again, I see firsthand, you know, what Liv does. I did have some different things. You were talking about combining certain things. It's funny you said that, because when I was studying volleyball, it was unbelievable to look at what like Claire Latham was doing on the assist side while Mullins and Phillips were, you know, were putting the ball away. And you can't argue with some of their performances, some of their mm-hmm. numbers, they jump out. Same way with like a Cameron Carroll there, you know, with her passing at Adina, and there's some really, really good performances. But I think when you start looking at historic value, the rebounding is something that in the history of the league, history of Ross County, that's certainly something that's fair for sure. So obviously I'm never going to argue the Olivia Smith of Paint Valley.
All right. That's great. Olivia Smith of Paint Valley, our individual performance of the year on the girls' side. Guys, I want to mention once more our adult education programs out at Pickaway Ross Career Center, and they focus on their in-demand career training in under a year. Almost all of their full-time programs are on Ohio's in-demand jobs list, and they offer training in such things as health technologies, skilled trades, public safety, and IT. And remember, their full-time programs are financial aid eligible for those who qualify, just like at regular colleges and universities. You can give them a call at 740-642-1288. Lots of jobs out there right now, and they might be able to help you. We'll also look them up on the web at pickawayross.com. That's www.pickawayross.com, their adult education program. And we'd also like to thank them for the high school programs, which sponsor, believe, the statistics on the website, and have done so for, believe, a couple of years now. So appreciate that very much. Next, we move on to the category called the Game of the Year. We're going to break this down and kind of give you a little breather, guys, so you can kind of specialize on what season we were in. We're going to have a fall category, a winter category, and a spring category. That makes it a little easier anyway. So let's go first to the game of the year in the fall. Who wants to start on this one?
I'll go first. Okay. Because I'm sure
Shane this was can, hard.
Yeah, I'm sure Shane can go a little more deeper into volleyball.
Yeah.
Than I can on this, because I know there was some like just amazing volleyball games. I didn't get to watch that much volleyball because I was at a lot of soccer, and so I kind of mentioned the Union of Bloom Carroll soccer game. That was one, the boys game. That was one that really stood out to me. Unieta Warren girls soccer game, the district championship game, was a 1-0 game where Unieta's Emily Haynes scored early in overtime to win a district championship. I think if you know historically, I think you have to look at the Piketon Menford football game as one, because that was a doozy. The Unieta Madison Plains football game that went to four overtimes.
Yeah,
that was such a miserable night because it was so cold and it wouldn't stop. So, and my phone was at like 3% at the end of the game.
Remember that one. Was that supposed to be the night before? But then
it was supposed to be the night before, and it got weathered out. And so then they played on Saturday instead, and instead of it being thunderstorms and lightning, it was just rainy and cold. But that was a great end of the season game. I believe it was 64-62. So, I know Coach Hoops wasn't real pleased to end that way on the season, but it was a you know, those kids really battled the whole night. But if I have to go, for me, I go to that first game. Speaking of a weather night, Shane, you and I were on the just outside of the end zone for the Unieta Piketon opening night game down at Piketon on the turf. It was delayed. It wasn't a great defensively played game, but Unieta was able to make one play at the end with the 44-yard pass from Isaac Little to Maddox Fox with no time left to win the game 44-38 in regulation. It was kind of a coming out party for a kid like Maddox Fox. You got to see Cameron Lord do all kinds of stuff on the field. Lucas Haynes for Unieta making a huge difference in the kicking game. Little just throwing that perfect pass to end the game. And for me, that one really stood out. And I know, Shane, you're going to have some great volleyball games and others that I've missed out on.
Well, I do. I have some volleyball stuff. You know, Zane Trace defeating Adina for the only league loss. That was 26-24 in the fourth set. That was a big deal. Obviously, I hate to always go the route of a game where our SVC team loses. But again, that Adina Tuskegee Valley game was one for the record books for sure. Don't forget, y'all. I'll tell you one that people forget about: Division III regional semifinal was Adina defeating Westfall in that. That match was tied 1-1. Westfall was up 24-21 in the third set, and Adina ended the set on a 6-1 run. And, a stat that I was looking back on the website, Adina was 97 of 104 serving that night with 18 aces. That's 93.3%. And, again, for people that followed volleyball, that was a really, really important stat for Adina to keep the attack of Westfall, as I mentioned earlier with Phillips and Mullins, from getting on the clean attack. And so there were plenty of things on the volleyball side. You mentioned some of the soccer things I had down. I thought immediately of that Unieta Madison Plains game, but But Bruce, John nailed it. Maybe we're biased because, again, we were there. Yeah. It was one of those. I can't remember the exact time. I want to say I had the box score pulled up earlier today when I was studying some games. I know Piketon had an opportunity to stretch it to two, and you mentioned the kicking game, and I thought that was really important, the conversion game, and that left the door open, and sure enough, that play was wild. That certainly was one that really ended up swinging those two teams in different directions at the start of the year. Obviously, Piketon regrouped and had a quality finish, but when you consider the following week, Piketon had to go to Paint Valley. Didn't Uniota have to go play Edina?
Yeah.
So it was one of those where, you know, the loser of that game was staring 0-2 in the face, and it was one of those that that was a big yeah. game, and certainly one that was exciting to be a part of, just, you know, down there on field level and watching it.
All right, so we're going to go with the game of the year in the fall as the Uniota Piketon football game. Mm-hmm. All right, how about the winter? What was big in the winter?
Well, I looked at, you know, I had a hard time going through, like, the boys' league because there weren't that many, like, classic finishes or anything. Where in the girls' league you had a couple of really good ones where, you know, Adina knocking off Huntington in double overtime, 56-51. Allison Basie had 30 points, but she fouled out at the end of regulation, and it kind of in those games, especially with how much they've relied on her to score, for them to get to that second overtime really stood out to me. You know, Adina ends up pulling away, but then there was a game where Adina did not pull away, which was Adina Zane Trace, which was a huge shocker based on just where they were in the standings. But Emma Garrison hits a three at the end of regulation, and like, at the very end of regulation, it was very, very close to not getting off.
With some people saying if that was at the college level with the instant replay, perhaps.
Yeah.
But it was a big time shot.
Yeah. And Zane Trace ends up winning by two. But if you go back and look through the box score, they were tied at every point in the game until the end of overtime. So at no point did anyone have a lead at the end of a quarter. That one really stood out to me. I thought the
Adina, I remember right, John, Lauren Lane knocked down a corner three to start overtime. It was a big shot for them. Yeah.
Yeah. I know I kind of just want to give a couple shout outs to Southeastern for their double headers. Played two double headers. I believe they went 1-3 total in those days, but you know, they really battled late in the season, making sure to catch up with some games. And that was one of the things I really enjoyed when I was going back and doing research on this, was I kind of forgot how crazy basketball was at times.
Yep.
I believe it was Westfall and Payne Valley had two really good games, and boys, really tight games, and the Uniota Adina games and boys were really good. The second game where Uniota had a couple shots in the lane that just didn't fall, that would have given them the lead after making a pretty big comeback late in that game, where Adina ended up wrapping up the SVC championship, was a big one to me. But for me, I think just because the size of the upset and that there was a couple big shots in it, I would go with the Adina or the Zane Trace over Adina girls basketball game.
You know, I'm probably willing to go that route, John, because every game you mentioned, I certainly had notes. There was one game you didn't mention, and I don't blame you because it probably wasn't the best taste in your mouth. And this is where I went back to, you hate to give the award away when our team ends up falling short, but I'm telling you, the best winter game that I've watched all year long was the Uniota DeSales game. It was a situation where you're talking about high level athletes. You're talking D2 athletes at the regional level. When you look to see what the Sells went on to do, it kind of made you appreciate that. You know, our league got labeled a little top heavy at times this year, but it kind of gave you a little bit more appreciation of, okay, well, maybe our league was playing a little bit better basketball than given credit for throughout the year on the boys' side. And, you know, I've got the box score pulled up here. It's 6-6. The Sells up 17-14, then 26-24. And, you know, I know DeBoard hit a big shot in that game. And I know Uniota led by one with a little over a minute to play. It was a great game. I know it ended up being Isaac Little's last game of his career. The website's got him 53rd all time in SBC history. But I guess that game's worthy of mention in terms of it was the best game. But I do the same way with the Adena Tuskegee Valley volleyball game earlier. Again, it was probably the best volleyball game I watched all year. I hated to go a route of, you know, our team falling short. So because of that, on the girls' side, I remember watching that game on the live stream, the Adena and Zane Trace game, and I certainly had that in my notes. So I can't argue with him too much there, Bruce, although that my winner probably would have been the Uniota DeSales game, even though it was our team falling short.
Okay, so we're going to go with Zane Trace over Adena. Is that correct?
Yes, 45-43 in overtime. And that was the game that, even though Adena had won the league, that had taken the gold ball.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, let's go to the spring then. You guys should be somewhat familiar with what's going on in the spring, seeing how it's not even over yet for some people, yourselves included. So what do you say for spring?
Well, just as a baseball fan, John, with the two guys that were pitching the other day, I would love to watch that Westfall Megs game. You know, not again, you know, I wish it would have turned out a little differently. As I said earlier, it just blows my mind that seeding falls that way. But, you know, we obviously know what Lucas Blackburn can do on the mound, and I've heard really, really high praise that young man from Megs in terms of his ability to bring it up into the upper 80s in terms of throwing the fastball. But I'll stay a little bit more in our local games. I thought the Uniota 3 Westfall nothing game was a high level game. Again, two elite kids going at it to board. Now that was not Blackburn that night. That was Weiss. Correctly. Yeah. So again, two of our best pitchers. We had some walk-off wins in the league this year. The Paint Valley 5 Adena 4 game jumps out, obviously one close to me. There was Westfall 6 Adena 5 in terms of the walk-off single in the ninth for Blackburn. That one jumps out at me. On the softball side, you know, we don't really have a play of the year. Yeah, you know, we talked about the little Hail Mary. Maybe that would be up for it. Another one that would have been up for it. I had down sectional championship, Adena 6, Oakville 5. Keep in mind, Sydney Fogelsong, I believe they were down to their last out.
Yes.
And knocks one out of the park. They go on to win. Then Uniota 2, Adena nothing. I know Megan Miller that night wins in the circle and hits a home run. Mm-hmm. Those are all the different ones. I feel like those are probably some of the best ones. John, am I missing any before we pick from those, or?
Well, one that's kind of rough to put because of how it ended, just because it was there was an error that really changed the game was I believe it was Westfall 2 Adena 0.
That was
Throckmorton and Weiss just dealing with each other. There's Throckmorton hit a ball that might have been two runs, but Titan Williams makes a great play to rob him of a hit. Ashton Nunnemaker made a couple of diving plays at second base to keep runners off. Lucas Blackburn made a great play down the third baseline. Like it was high level defense, and then the two runs scored for Westfall after kind of a fluky play in center, and then just an error that ended up scoring two on the play. And that's just kind of ends on a downer in that way. I think the Unioda at Westfall softball game would be one to mention. Six home runs hit in that game.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Unioda hit a home run late to take the lead in the seventh, and then Westfall hit a home run to tie it, and then Unioda hit one in the ninth to go ahead. I think with that, I do think you have to look at some of these really high level games across the league to find it there, because there was just a really high level baseball and softball across both leagues. So I'm really impressed with what our leagues have done with having that year off and still be able to play at a high level.
All right, so which one are we going with? I want to be clear.
Go first.
The winner I had, and I just want to stay true to my notes, the winner I had was the Edina 6, Oak Hill 5. And I, sometimes I do these, Bruce, and I feel a little biased to SVC games where we get two SVC teams involved, and it's a little bit more meaningful maybe to us. But to me, in a sectional championship setting where you're all the way down – you're down 5-3, bottom seventh, two outs, and Fuglesong leaves the yard. and what was so bizarre about that is on the pitching line, Greenlee Bossert threw the complete game for nine innings, didn't allow an earned run. Mm-hmm. So obviously Adina's defense wasn't, shining that night. Kara Williams had two hits, and Miner had three hits. And, that was one that jumped out to me. But if there was an SVC game, John, that maybe jumped out at you a little bit more, I certainly could be persuaded to stay closer to home, so to speak.
I probably would have went to the Unioda at Westfall game. But, with the fact that Westfall turned around and just – absolutely ran away in the the sixth inning at Unioda, and then they did the same thing against Portsmouth on Saturday where they just went, okay, we're gonna score a bunch of runs. I think I'll agree with you on that.
Well, hang on a second, because what you're saying there in the Westfall Unioda game, I don't have that in front of me. Westfall 12-2, wasn't Unioda 11-3 in softball?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So see, I could probably be persuaded there. Even though the Fuglesong would be up for more of a play of the year, in a game setting, I could probably go with you a little bit more there, because let's face it, if that game goes the other way, the league goes the other way.
Right. Yes. So it doesn't. So if Westfall ends up winning that game, then they don't have to, keep playing as well as they did at the end.
That's right.
And kind of,
right.
Yeah. And they don't have as much pressure on them late.
Because that softball league was, it was all the way down. Remember us talking about that. It was all the way down to the last.
Yeah.
It was. So I would be okay. I would be okay with keeping it in the SVC.
Mm-hmm.
But again, certainly honoring the Fuglesong home run.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Okay, so it is the Unioda versus who in softball?
Westfall.
Okay,
yeah.
That's our SVC. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I believe it was, I believe Avery Miller and Maddie Mullins each went deep twice, and then Megan Miller and Alexis Book each went deep once in that game, and it was just... Yeah, really fun to follow.
I'm sure that all the wire services will want to know tomorrow, who you guys picked, and
so
that I've got it correctly here. I want to make sure of it. All right, guys, we have basically one more segment to go here, and that being Athlete of the Year, male and female, and we'll get to that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you again that North Fork Animal Clinic has been with us for several years now, sponsoring the podcast, and Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff are operating out at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, and they are looking forward to making the acquaintance of you and your small pet. You can give them a call at 740-773-7387. That's North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming. They understand that pets have personalities just like people, and they want to get to know you and your pet better. So give them a call, 740-773-7387. All right, guys, moving on here. Final categories you've got, that being Athlete of the Year on the boys' side first.
Well, I tried to look through. I think the discussion has to start on these of how important is the multi-sport athlete? How important do they need to have two, three, maybe even four sports? How important is performance? How important is just, are we just looking at athleticism? I think those are some of the things that have to be discussed going in. You know, I think the list on the boys' side, when I think of three sport athletes and I look at, you know, Nichols and Blackburn and DeBoard and Little and Chandler and Gallion and Miller and Sykes and Bennett and Throckmorton, all the way, I just rattle it off. I'm sure I'm missing some, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, Gavin Free, there's different kids at every school that you start to look. What say you, John, in terms of the two sport, three sport? Like, you know, when you're looking at kids like the Daxi step that plays three sports, or compared to maybe narrowing it down to a kid that just plays the one sport, but maybe plays it at a really, really high level. How do you do that?
Well, I think with – so, like, if you're just going to, like, like a two sport, I guess, if you look at, like, a Tramell Bird, I guess, right. he did do three because he was on the basketball team as well. But, like, I like to give a shout-out to kids like that where
– Sure.
They didn't really run the ball, and then he runs for 1,000 yards in a shortened season. Look at like the Lynch brothers from Uniota that are track cross country. Of course, Showblock is another one, right. of those that's right. a track cross country. Like, those guys compete at the state level. I think that's somebody that you need to look at. You know, and
honestly, where do you stand on just athleticism? Like, you know, when you consider just an amazing athlete, like we mentioned Myers, we mentioned a Kevin Cooper type of athlete. Mm-hmm. Or do you think it has to have a little bit more performance base to go with it?
I think performance and team performance kind of stands out a little bit more. Uh-huh. Where, like, when we've looked at, like, Elaine Ruby before, where typically his teams were really good because, you know, that he helped elevate them. And then you can also throw out the fact that, like, a kid like Nate Throckmorton ended up doing four sports because he was on the track team as well. Yeah, and then you mentioned another four sport kid would be a Cole Miller, that you have with, you know, football, basketball, track, and baseball. Man, we've got just a great depth of athletes across the league, and it's really hard to narrow down. So I think you have to look at performance, kind of above all.
Right. Well, I'll go ahead and throw out mine here, and then you can agree or debate or whatever. To me, it's Nate Throckmorton. And here's why I would say that. You know, to me, he checks all the boxes. It's a situation where, you know, he's not just like on the team. You know what I mean? Like, he is leading the charge in many areas of championship performances. Huge piece of what they did in football. Very, very important piece in what they did in basketball. You know, baseball, and his role did nothing but get bigger and bigger with the injuries to their pitching staff and so forth, and he stepped forward and threw. If you remember earlier in his career, John, he was a little bit more of a closer spot guy, different thing. You know, he took the ball the second half of this year and went on a run of 2, 3, 4 starts that was crazy impressive. You know, and you then look at what he's doing doubling up in track. I mean, you're talking about what, four championship teams. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's at a high level. So to me, that's where it's hard to be. You have guys in individual sports. When you look at what, you know, say like his classmate, Logan Bennett, did in basketball, or Sykes did, and then football, and they both crossed over. But then you look at, you know, like we mentioned Gallion's football statistics, or a Blackburn or a Blanton in terms of what they're doing, Nichols across the board. Mm-hmm. To me, Throckmorton is a kid that checks the boxes of athleticism and then production in terms of championship performances, and that's what separates him. I mean, I can't recall someone being that, first of all, even being on four championship teams, but then mm-hmm. being on four championship teams and being such a productive member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to look at, you know, the way different guys went across different sports. Like Isaac Little's another one that probably needs a shout out, because he, you know, just based on what he could do on both sides of the ball in football, basketball wise, even at the end of the year when he was sick and, you know, going to kind of a smaller role, was still being huge for a regional run. And then at one point this year was the greatest baseball player offensively in UDN history until he got out against Northwest. But, you know, I think you nailed it with Throckmorton. I just, you know, he was a kid who I knew was a really good athlete. And then just getting to watch him at field level this year in football was just, he just did everything well. And he ran hard. He made big plays on both sides of the ball. You know, then you go in basketball, and he's one of the better guards, the defensive guards in the league. And if you didn't pay attention to him in your scouting report, he's going to hurt you. So that's the two championship there. And then baseball, up until that seventh inning against Westfall, which were unearned runs, he had 21 consecutive scoreless innings, and I believe he's carried that over into the postseason as well. I don't think he gave up any in between the league and tournament, and then obviously being on that track team just really kind of, for me, puts him over the top. And so I agree with you on this, on Nate Throckmorton.
That would be a great research for you, because I know you love that stuff. I would love to know, has there been an individual, because first of all, like, what schools won four times,
right?
You know what I mean? But then to have a kid on all of them, but then to have a kid be that productive on all of them, that's mm-hmm. what really separated it for me.
All right. Nate Throckmorton, athlete of the year on the male side. And now, gentlemen, final category, athlete of the year on the female side.
Well, John, I thought this was a lot harder. If you want to go first, I certainly won't fight you for it. I thought the boys' side, when it came to the winner, was pretty easy for me. The girls' side, not so much.
Yeah, it's just – it's crazy how the depth of athletes we have on the girls' side. You look at the top, you probably look immediately at, like, what Olivia Smith has done in volleyball, basketball, and softball. Same thing for Allison Basie, obviously. It kind of came on in volleyball, and then softball, I think, was really a pleasant surprise for Huntington.
Sure.
You mentioned the two home run game with the walk-off home run, and then her being player of the year in basketball. Sydney Fogelsong from Edina doing it in three sport or four sports as well. You know, obviously with the big home run against Oak Hill, but being the four-hole hitter for a really improving program. Then she goes and wins two SVC and two district events and throws. She had actually went and competed in the district discus meet on Saturday morning, and then drove up to Uniota to compete in a district championship game and softball. She's a big part of that basketball program and volleyball program as well. Then you look at Uniota with Avery Miller, who's really, really talented in basketball, and soccer, and then obviously in softball as well. Then you look at two sport athletes with Paris DeBoer in track and basketball and track, where she just wins her events. Abby Seals is another one, soccer and basket, or soccer and track, where just wins, is a winner. Won a couple of events in the district, like Paris DeBoer. And Allie Cox from Uniota and right. track and soccer as well. Won the meet medalists and both the Ross County and SEC meet. So, I mean, those are you have a variety of athletes. And that's not even mentioning like a Gracie McCall, a Lexi Scott from St. Trace. I know I'm going to miss a bunch of kids. You know, with what Lexi Lockwood's done for Southeastern, Sydney Huff from Southeastern had a great year. I know I'm missing a lot of kids, and that just shows how deep the SBC is. Then you have like a Marissa Mullins, Mahaley Farmer from Westfall, those kids. Kylie Henry is another one, played three sports, really good.
A sleeper in this category.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is really tough.
Yeah. I agree with you there, because, you know, Kylie Henry is a great example of what we're talking about here, getting involved in a lot of different things. I love the Fogel song mentioned, because we have some specialization in a lot of areas on the girls' side. When you think of, you know, Phillips and Mullins and what they've done. You mentioned the Basie and Olivia Smith. Then we have some individual sports that have had some great careers. You know, Macy Graves is a kid that comes to my mind. You know, on the soccer side at Uniota, if we're just talking athleticism, they're so athletic and goal.
Sydney Free.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you could rattle off three or four more. That remember we talked last week on the show in our track special about how so much of that soccer and some of their relay depth went together in terms of how we've highlighted the Uniota girls track team throughout tonight. I love that you mentioned Lexi Scott and Gracie McCall too, because you're talking about just pure athleticism. Here's I guess where I come down to the end on this. If we're looking at pure athleticism, I don't know that I have the performance statistical stuff to back it up. I'm not so sure that, like, Paris DeBoer is it the best female athlete when healthy that I've seen. Mm-hmm. But when it goes to a performance base, we're right back where we've kind of been all year long in terms of, you know, this is probably one of our first co-awards of the night for me, because, again, I'm probably too close to it. It really comes back if you're going to throw in the athleticism and the performance of the Allison Basie, Olivia Smith. So, you know, I guess that's where I'm at a little bit. And that's why I asked you the question I did at the very beginning of the boys. You know, Paris DeBoer, when healthy, and I've watched her do certain things, you're just like, wow. That's probably you know, where I'm at on that. But in terms of the performance athleticism combined, I look at what Allison Basie and Olivia Smith have done, and those two young ladies have competed so hard against each other since they were, you know, coming up through grade school and junior high, that I don't think you could go wrong either side there. So that I guess that's kind of where I'm at on it. You know, I guess each person doing this has to decide, you know, how much is the performance and then how much is just the pure athleticism, you know, in terms of swaying your vote or how you view the topic.
Yeah. I think with like a kid like Paris DeBoer, where if you look at her times too, they're getting better and better as time goes on, as she was someone that dealt with COVID during basketball season.
Right.
And, you know, to see her continuously improving her times, I think shows that she's getting healthier. And like, I can't wait to see what her times are next year, because I know how hard she's going to hit it. But really, if you look at straight up performance across multiple sports, I don't think you can go wrong with Allison Basie or Olivia Smith as well.
Yeah, I would agree there, because I just, you know, a lot of the kids we mentioned throughout have had really special years, but I think you'd have a hard time statistically backing up someone more than those two. So I would agree there.
All right. So as executive producer, you're going to award a situation.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. Well, guys, just have the contact information here to go. But Shane, would you like to maybe summarize where we are? Have you written these down and got them on your so that you can get the trophies and the gift bags and all that stuff out?
I think for me, before we'll do a different type of final thought. So real quick, I'll give a final summarization. Okay. of the SVC Sport Zonies here. To me, the things that jump out, John, I had three kind of bullet points. Number one, wow on the Adena athletic program.
Yes.
This year. Hats off to them and what they have accomplished and the way they have been able to spread their athletes out, the way they've been able to share their athletes. That's been something really, really impressive. Number two, it's been a year where I think ADs, coaches, parents, players should be very, very proud of the way our SVC programs have fought through the COVID situations and really put a high level product out on the court, on the field, throughout just about every sport. I mean, in terms of the way we've competed, not just against each other, but into the postseason. And then the third point would be based on that right now. I mean, here we are again. Doesn't this seem to be the narrative every spring, John? Like, over half the league in baseball's into the district tournament. You know what I mean? It's one of those where it's just kind of like, that happens every year. And I think we take it for granted. Like, well, wait a minute, that's not normal. You know what I mean? That should be appreciated. Here we are. We have a softball team, one of the regional again. Track kids, we have SVC kids just all over the place going to the regional. And we'll have certainly some go to the state this time next week. So those are the three things that jump out at me. John, what about you?
Yeah, I think you nailed it with the how this whole year's gone. I think says a lot. I think our ADs have really gone above and beyond, because I know they had to deal with a lot of extra stuff that they probably didn't want to. It's like they probably didn't want to have to enforce all the mask stuff, and they took it serious. And I think with their leadership, it's really helped us get through something that we've never experienced before. I think as coaches, we can appreciate the kids and their willingness to deal with everything they had to deal with this year to just get a year in. And I think we all appreciate the just everybody that's kind of gone all in on having to change the way we've done things. Making it to where we could have this year and be able to celebrate these kids. And you mentioned the Adena kids were just lights out this year. I mean, that's something that a small community is going to remember for a long time, of how special this group of Adena kids are that are going through there right now. And I think with how much we discussed them this evening really shows how impressive they've been. You mentioned we've got some baseball teams still playing. We got five teams left. We got one softball team left. And really, I think, without seeing Tuskegee Valley, obviously yet, I don't think Westfall's going to be overmatched. They might get outplayed on a night, but I don't think it's going to be because they're less talented or going to be outcoached. I think they're a high level team, and I like their chances to definitely make us proud. And I think we've got some special things coming with the baseball as well. So I'm looking forward to the end of the season and rooting on the all the track kids that we have competing this coming week in the regionals as well. It's going to be really exciting. Mm-hmm.
Going to be a fun time, I'm sure that there are those out there who have listened to this episode and feel that they must impart their opinions as well, and we would welcome that. You may do so by contacting either of these gentlemen by email, where Shane's email address is admin1@svcsportzone.com, and John's email address is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can contact them. SVC Sports Zone is the handle for Shane, and for John Bruce, a coconut wall papa, is his Twitter address. And then on Facebook, Shane maintains two profiles on Facebook, Shane Combs, SVCSportsZone.com, or SVCSportsZone and SVCSportsZone.com. So those are two addresses there, two profiles that Shane maintains. If you'd like to leave a voicemail message, you may do so by calling the DBK Media Services voicemail at 740-569-3254, and I'll forward that along to Shane or to John as appropriate, maybe even to both. And if you're seeing our information on Facebook or Twitter, we ask that you either retweet it or favorite it or like it. And if you're listening on iTunes, about a good rating and maybe a great review. So that concludes the contact information, gentlemen. Final thoughts?
Don't contact me on Facebook. Someone hacked me.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So I'm just throwing that out there. I was not real happy. Like, I woke up at like 3:45 the other day and for some reason checked my email. Mm. And then my email was like, oh, you changed your password. I'm like, no, I didn't. So I spent a long time trying to figure that out. And I guess that's what I get for waking up in the middle of the night. Yeah. So my final thought besides that is good luck to all area athletes coming up. Don't take the summer lightly. Take advantage of it. Your coaches are going to they should open up the facilities. You know, they're going to put in a lot of time. And I think that's where our young athletes can really can keep getting better and better as time goes on. And, you know, it's an exciting time. The postseason is. But I think if these kids, these young kids keep putting in the work, it's going to be even more exciting in the years to come as well.
Well, I think that's well said. As we come to the end of season 10 here, you know, Bruce, I hope you don't mind me doing this. I wanted to let people know that this is going to be our last time on the air with DBK Media Services. Bruce has been with us from day one. Bruce is a big part of SVC Sports Talk existing. When you consider, I didn't even know what a podcast was 10 years ago. The quality of the show, you know, Bruce, you don't know how many people talked to us about the quality and the professionalism and the presentation and all of those different things compared to a lot of podcast shows out there. And that is 100% Bruce Knox. And I just wanted to publicly thank you, Bruce, for all the incredible work and everything you have done for the show. So before I go into the future of what we're maybe looking at, I certainly wanted to give you an opportunity just to kind of reflect on the last decade and kind of what the 313 have meant to you.
Well, I have not given this a lot of formal thought. I've thought about it many times because I knew it was coming, and it was something we talked about actually at the very beginning of this season. I think we have seasons in our lives, and I felt that this season was coming to a close for me, and so I'll go again on some other venture, I guess, down the road. It's been interesting. I went back and looked, Shane. Our first episode actually was posted on September the 12th of 2011. At that time, I had two kids still underfoot. One of them was was in college for his freshman year, and the other one was squarely here. They're both gone on through college, both graduated, thank the Lord, and both gainfully employed the last time I checked. So that is, there are things that come along with that. I'm getting a little longer in the tooth. I've always enjoyed this. I've learned an awful lot about SVC. I've learned a lot about sports overall. I've always been sort of an informal sports fan, and you know, just listening to you guys, whether it was you and Matt or you and Eric, you and Jeremy, Derek, and lastly, I think John. I think those were all the co-hosts that we had. Am I missing any there on the co-hosts?
I think you got it.
Okay. Well, I've enjoyed getting to know every one of them, albeit some of them I wouldn't know them if they smacked me in the face. It's been through audio and so forth. So, as our, I think I can disclose now that our studios are our own homes.
And, I can't believe it.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Yeah.
Well, it used to be something that was a closely guarded secret, but then with the advent of COVID and everybody doing everything from home, we were ahead of the curve. So,
yeah.
Hey,
you don't know how many people who truly think we are like in a studio together,
right?
Every week.
Yeah. And I think we let that, I mean, I remember the 200th episode when we did it in McDonald's on Western Avenue, I believe.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. That was great fun. And I will never forget the playoff game that we did at Paint Valley. That was the one thing they let me out of my house for, gang, was to go out and do the Paint Valley. I think it was
Grandview Heights.
Yeah. Grandview Heights. Yeah. And that was a hoot for me to get out and do that and see that. It's always been good. No ill feelings or anything. I just think that Shane and John are good enough that they can do this as well. I know Matt's been helping you on some of the YouTube stuff. You guys are ready for bigger things than Bruce Knox can probably bring to you. So, with that, I want to thank everybody. Thank the sponsors. If I butchered your commercials or your spots or your mentions, I apologize. But I've had fun, and if anybody's ever sees me in Chillicothe, which I'm there occasionally, please speak up, say hello. I would appreciate knowing that this has, impacted their lives as well. And Shane, they always told me if you could get past 7 podcast episodes, you were doing well. We certainly did that, did we not?
Yeah, we did. And, to carry on with some of the changes, I wanted to announce this basically, in the past 2 weeks, I've already started to get my feet wet with it. But starting next fall, I've accepted the assistant principal position at Paint Valley.
Let's go.
And
congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, I still have a great passion for coaching, with baseball, with basketball. And I'm going to have to cut back at some point. And so the future of the website is probably – for lack of a better term, a little bit of a trouble in terms of I don't know on a day-to-day basis that the website can exist the way it has the last 13 years. It's something that when school's out, when baseball's done, John and I will sit down, and through all of John's incredible historic research and some different things, we're going to see what kind of platforms that we can still utilize to make sure our league is covered the correct way. My goal is to still have SVC Sports Talk. My brother and I will be starting our second season of Expanding the Zone as an off-season podcast. And then, again, John and I will have to sit and talk and see what we realistically can do in terms of SVC Sports Talk. We still have the YouTube channel we would like to honor. So the concept of SVCSportsZone.com, I don't know in terms of a website's going to exist, but the SVC Sports Zone is still going to cover kids in some way. We simply, it's too early to know what that's going to look like yet. So again, I look forward, John, I can't thank you enough for all that you do. I look forward to just sitting down and us talking when it's all over here and just seeing what we think the future would best fit with what we have going on in our lives, and then how we can still honor our kids and our programs throughout. So I definitely wanted to use this public opportunity to get that out there as well. So John, anything before I close this out here for one final time?
I just wanted to thank both of you guys. I've enjoyed the last 3 years, and Bruce, I'm I always had heard you. And I would like to let you know this. I have a friend named Shay that would listen. He'll listen on occasion. And he talks about, man, how do you get such a professional voice at the beginning? And it's not just people around here. It's anybody that listens knows how invaluable you've been to this show and to helping us along. I'm appreciative to be able to consider both of you guys friends. So.
Well, I thank you and your friend Shay, and I want you guys to know that, without regularity, I will be around. And if you have questions or, need something, special projects, that kind of thing, maybe I'll do your open for you or something, Shane. Maybe you can do that.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing. But again, I thank everybody. The SVC is lucky to have people like, all the hosts, particularly John and Shane. And, they've put in a whale of a lot of work. I think they do it from the heart. So I appreciate it. Thank you, SVC.
Well, guys, on that note, SVCSportsZone.com is going to carry out the year. So we hope that year is several weeks to come with our spring athletes still going. So with baseball, softball, and our track kids, make sure you continue to check out SVCSportsZone.com. And until the end, we'll keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. Join us next time for SVC Sports Talk and visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.